Buckle up and settle in for a full hour of automotive mayhem with the real car guy, master technician, Mark Salem, where the only two things we can't fix is a broken heart and the crack of dawn. To talk to Mark, call 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Now, once again, here's Mark.
Well, good morning, everybody. I hope your Saturday started out as good as mine has, because this morning all the horses were behaving themselves. And I don't know if you know this or not, but sitting outside in the back patio with a cup of coffee and watching the horses chase one another and playing and kicking and passing gas and all the stuff that horses do first thing in the morning is just, I don't know what better life there could be. But that's what I did this morning while my wife was still asleep, and it was just, it's always a lot of fun, just a real serene kind of atmosphere, except for the horses making noise and whinnying and talking. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing. They're located in Mesa. They're on the south side of Main Street, just east of Stapley. Stapley in Maine, just east on the south side of the road. They've been in business since 1970. They can handle all kinds of minor and major repairs, foreign and domestic, gas or diesel. They're a AAA approved shop and an ASE certified Blue Seal shop, which means he's in the top 10% of the shops in the United States. I'm proud to have Brian and Thelma on my best car repair shop list, and that's at marksalem.com. That's Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing. Okay, I'm going to let you look over my shoulder. First of all, I'll give you the phone number, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. All right, here's just some of the mailbag for this week, just kind of give you an idea of what's going on. December 6th, I took my car in for an oil change, and on my way home, I noticed it was getting hotter than usual. The next day, I took it back in, and they flushed the cooling system. They replaced the water pump, and I paid for all of that. But when I left, the needle still was at the three-quarter mark. And as soon as the car gets going, the needle moves back to half. Now, Mark, it didn't do this before they changed my oil on the 6th. 3 weeks later, I took the car back. They replaced the thermostat, the temperature sender, and the radiator cap. Now, at this point, folks, this lady's got $1,000 tied up in this overheat. Paid for this repair, drove off, and, Mark, you're right. The needle didn't go down at all. I made a U-turn, took the car back, and they gave me my money, and they said they didn't know what was causing it to run hot, but it seems like it's okay because it never really gets overheated. And I think overheated means steam, gurgling, bucking of the cooling system, noises of thump, thump, thump. I think that's what she means. So she keeps on driving until April 21st. It started to get a little warm, and she noticed that, again, it's still up there in the hot range. So she says, you know, what do I do? I took it to another garage, and they said that the fans were coming on at 222 degrees, and that because of the electric cooling fans, the temperature gauge was cycling between a half and three-quarter, and they told her it was a normal condition and that there's nothing to repair. And they didn't charge her anything. So she says, what do you think? And I say, wow. I say, first of all, in your owner's manual, in this particular car, it says that half to three-quarters is a normal range. So if you're in the half to three-quarters, and sometimes you're at three-quarters, sometimes you're half.
We've got caller Joe.
5/8, all those, it's okay. Now, you're not spitting any coolant. It's never getting past the three-quarter mark. And it cools down when you get on the highway, which means we're running air across the condenser and the radiator. That means we're dissipating heat properly. It's not pinging. So if you're not burping any water on the ground, burping any water into the overflow, overflowing the overflow jug onto the ground, you're not thumping and bumping and pinging and knocking, and the gauge stays all the time between half and three quarters, there's nothing wrong with your car. You can actually go up to 7/8. And it will still be okay. Stay out of the red. And when you get to red, then you'll start getting all those symptoms I just talked about, pinging and knocking and coolant overflowing and all that other kind of stuff. But I was really impressed with the brother and sister shop who gave you specific examples. They said, hey, we're cycling at 222. Half on the gauge is usually going to be 195 to 212. And if it's 195, then the fan is going to cycle between half and three quarters. So I'm impressed. And of all the places you went to, the second place refunded you a whole bunch of money after they made a guess, and that's pretty honorable. They should have told you it was a guess, but then again, you got your money back. And the third place you went to was the brother-sister kind of shop, and they gave you specifics that someone like me can just understand, and they did the job right. So really and truly, I can't answer why after your oil change the gauge went it was different. This happens three or four times a year. But it's just not that big of a deal. You're asking a question that you need answered that really can't be answered, and really, who cares? And it happens four times a year to me, to where I hear this. And I can't explain it. It's just one of those things. The chances are it was running too cold before, and for some other reason, it's now worn running where it wants to run. You see, folks, in the 1960s, 50s, 60s, 70s, we wanted the cars to run at about 180 to 190. That's why we put a 180 thermostat in them. Today we're putting a 195 thermostat. We want the motors to run over 220. That's all there is to it. A hot engine and cold air is the making of good fuel economy, good power. Hot engine, cold air. That's why we're painting all the engines black now. We don't have, you know, what is it, orange for Chevrolet, blue for Ford, green for Dodge. We don't do that anymore. They're all black because we want the heat. We know it's good for the engine. Besides, back then when we had those cooler temperatures, we did a valve job every 60,000 miles. Today, a valve job is unheard of. All righty, Joe, good morning to you. Joe, how can I help you this morning?
Well, I hope you can help me. I've got a 2000 Taurus, and it's my wife's car. And when she pulls into the garage, after it's sat for maybe 5 minutes, it smells like gas in there. Now, I've smelled, you know, all over the car. And it appears that it's coming in the gas tank, gas filler area. It doesn't seem to be coming from the engine compartment. I've, you know, looked. I don't see any gas anywhere, including around the injectors. But if after you pull it into the garage, boy, in about 5 minutes, you start smelling, you know, it smells like, you know,
okay,
gas.
I can help you. On the top of your Taurus, there's a big round ring that's probably 6-8 inches in diameter. And you spin that ring off. First of all, you got to brush all the mud and the dirt off first because you don't want any of that in the tank. We use high-pressure compressed air. You roll that ring around, and you pull the pump out.
Okay.
That O-ring will go bad.
Okay.
And you won't see it till it starts dripping off the side of the tank, and chances are it just drips to the top of the tank, and that's as far as it gets.
Okay.
So you get a mirror and a flashlight and go 360 degrees around that rear and get up with your mirror as far as you can and look at the top of that. If you can't see anything, here's what I want you to do next, Joe. I want you to have the lady of your life drop the fuel tank down below a quarter and drive it that way for a couple days between an eighth and a quarter.
All right.
Then I want you to see if there's a gas smell.
Okay.
Because there's a good chance that once we drop the fuel level that low, that this gas smell will go away because it won't leak up there anymore.
Okay.
And if she drives off the top half of her tank, then she's constantly shoving gas out of there. Now, have you ever put a fuel pump in your Taurus?
No, I haven't. And one other thing I should tell you, just in the last couple of days, the gas, the gauge is acting funny. It'll be, you know, 150 miles into the tank, and it'll read way up full. And one time when we were about a quarter of a tank, it dropped down and the little, you know, gas light came on. And then the next time I started it up, it was back where it normally is. And I don't know if that's any more information or if that's just...
No, that's good information. That's good information. Here, let me explain. The gas gauge is if you take your finger, just one finger, take your index finger and pretend there's a keyboard in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
So all the way to the left is low, and all the way to the top is all the way to the right is high. So your finger just runs up and down this keyboard. The keyboard gets dirty. Now I've been told, and if you try this, please let me know if it worked. You buy a Tecron gas additive at a Chevron store, and put that in there. And I'm told that on Fords, that will help clean up the keyboard.
Okay.
But if you, how many miles are on the Taurus?
107,000.
Okay, you hold the record for no fuel pump for 107,000 miles.
Okay.
So if you got a gas smell at the top, then when you take that apart to clean that O-ring up and get that, you have to do the fuel pump.
Sure, it makes sense.
You bet. And if your gauge doesn't continue, then you're going to buy the what we call the assembly, which is the sending unit, the bracket, the O-ring, and the fuel pump. You buy it all at once.
Okay. Wouldn't it just be best just to do that anyway?
But here's the problem. What happens if the canister up front is bad and the gas smells in the middle of the car, and you're thinking it's the tank.
Oh, okay.
After spending $600-800 to do the entire assembly, and you still have the gas smell, you're going to be mad at me. So I want you to find the gas smell first, and if it leads you to the pump, then do the pump.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
All right. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you. Bye.
You bet. 602-508-0960.
Caller John.
602-508-0960. The lines are wide open. You can call now. John, you're up next, buddy. How can I help you?
I've got a 1974 Jeep J10 360 V8 pickup, and I bought it new for $3,400. And it's got about 73,000 miles on it, and I was just listening to your segment on the heat. Now, it hasn't been running for about the last 4 years, and so I'm going to get it rebuilt and everything, but can we take these old engines and increase the thermostat, put a higher temperature thermostat in those things, and better the gas mileage on these things? Because it's got a two-barrel on there now, and I think I'm going to keep the two-barrel on there, but the gas mileage is... You know, back when I bought this thing, gas was, 30 cents a gallon.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So would that increase the gas mileage on these things? I never realized that that's why they increased the heat on the engine.
Your truck probably has a 3 or 4 row radiator in it, which is a monster to compare to what we're dealing with today.
Yeah.
And if it has air conditioning, factory air conditioning, it's going to be a 4 row.
No, it doesn't have, and that's what I need to do. I wanted to ask you about somebody to put an air conditioning unit in a handgun.
Okay, you're going to have to email me that question because I have an answer for you, but I can never remember the doggone name of the place. It's up in Phoenix. They do a great job, and they'll do a nice AC unit for you.
Okay, all right. But as far as the heat, as far as the temperature on these things.
Yeah, you can run a 195, and when you do, then you'll fatten up the carburetor just a tad. Maybe you don't have to. It depends on the CO reading at a high idle. And then we can advance the timing quite a bit, and that's going to give you power and fuel economy. And we can deviate from the specifications a little bit to give you the better. Now, we're also going to have it to you take the snorkel of the air filter.
1 minute.
We want you to bring that. Do not use dryer vent hose because it'll collapse.
Oh, yeah.
So you're going to have a cold air kit. You're going to have to build or design or pay somebody. What we want to do is we want to take the air off the grill and run it through the carburetor, because here's why. Cold air carries more fuel, and cold air makes more power. Now, do you remember in the old days, and you will, we used to have those cans that we put ice in, and then we ran a coil of copper tubing through this can, and we wanted to cool the fuel?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
That was the craziest. Today we know that's the stupidest thing in the world, because we want the fuel to vaporize.
Oh.
And so when you cool it off, you're making it tough to vaporize. When we get back, I'm going to talk more about this, but I got to take a break right now. And thank you very much, John. We'll talk more about this on the other side. 602-508-0960. My name's Mark Salem. We'll be back right after this.
Hello, I'm Bob Jones, owner of Quality Transmission Service in Tempe. As a kid,
well, you can get stereo tape and a color TV, get a backseat bar and reclining seats, and just pay once a month like you do your rent. Well, I figured.
Well, welcome back, everybody. The open lines are available. 602-508-0960. Michael, you stay there. You're first. I got to finish up with John real quick, but before I finish up with John, I got to tell you about Larry Harker's Auto. If you're south of Indian School between the I-17 and the 101, and you don't have a shop that you love, I have a shop that you will love. Larry Harker's Auto Repair, full-service, family-owned operation, 38th Avenue and Indian School. He's a trusted name for quality. He's always been affordable. He's always fair, and he's always honest. Bob and Ellen own Larry Harker's Auto. I'm proud to recommend Bob and Ellen. It's a husband and wife team, and they really do a good job for me. And I can tell you, I don't remember ever getting a complaint about them. So that's Larry Harker's Auto Repair, 38th Avenue and Indian School. Okay, John, real quick. If you have a 3-foot piece of steel line and you put gasoline in there, how do we get it to vaporize? And the idea is that we're going to suck on one end, and we're going to pull the gasoline through that piece of steel line, and we're going to apply a lot of heat to the steel line, and then that's how we get vapor lock. But gasoline under pressure cannot and will not vapor lock. So if you want to update your Dodge truck, go to the back of the tank and get a suck pull push fuel pump, something that might have 10 pounds. You're still going to need a fuel pressure regulator, and you're going to drop it down to 4 because you got a carburetor. So you can mount the fuel pressure regulator up on the firewall. You can bring that rubber or steel line from the electric pump in the back. It's going to be wired into the key, into the run circuit. So when you start it up and it goes to run, fuel pump's fired up and all that jazz. But you got fuel in the carburetor. That'll upgrade you a bit. Cold air kit, good warm motor, advance the timing till she rattles on wide open throttle, cheap gasoline, and have somebody trim your carburetor to where the CO readings at idle, at cruise, and wide open throttle are all under 2%. What we didn't have back then, we have today. I can take that motor and I can set the performance on the edge of a razor blade just because of the equipment we have today. Michael, you're up next. Michael, how can I help you today?
Thank you. I've got a 2000 Buick Century, and I bought it 4 years ago, and I decided one late spring day, it was about 85 degrees, I decided to take it down to the Catholic monastery at Florence and look at it. So I got about 20 miles outside of Florence, and the temperature gauge started going up to red, and so I stopped in at the service station, and he looked in there, and the water was full, and we couldn't do anything, so he said there was nothing to be done, so we just looked in the radiator. So then I saw the Catholic monastery, and then I came back to Mesa, and I was driving back, and the thing started going red again, you know. But ever since then, that was 4 years ago, ever since then I can go up from North Mesa to Scottsdale Shea to my doctor's appointments in the hottest of weather around Mesa. I drive as a puddle jumper on my trips, and it's only the gauge is always a little over a quarter of a hot. It never gets even to half. I was wondering, I'm afraid to take it out of town, Mark. That's the issue.
Yeah, I understand. Well, I think you have a problem for two reasons. Number one, the only part of the cooling system that can be bad on Monday and good on Tuesday and bad on Wednesday is the thermostat. The radiator isn't going to get plugged and unplugged. The water pump isn't going to pump good and not pump good. That kind of stuff. That doesn't happen. So the first intermittent real hot, but everything else is fine, that screams thermostat to me. And then you say, and I like this because you gave me what I needed. Of course, I didn't need to hear all the trips you were on, but I'm just teasing you. So the second thing you said is it's hardly over a quarter. Here's what I'd do. In the morning, before anybody drives the car, I'd take the radiator cap off, and I'd look at the water, and the water should just be stable. It should be like a lake in the morning, just like glass. I'd take my hand, and I'd put it on the upper radiator hose, and I'd have the wife start the car. If that upper radiator hose starts flowing, and if that water in the neck starts moving, that tells me the thermostat is stuck open.
Oh.
So I only want the water to ripple because of the vibration of the engine. But if it's flowing, and you can tell the difference between the water rippling and the water flowing. Now, if you want to, take the top hose off of it, aim it at take the top hose off at the radiator, aim it at a 5-gallon bucket, have her start it up, rev it once, and shut it off. Okay? That'll cover you in coolant. It'll fill it won't fill the jug, but it'll put a bunch in it, and you'll know for sure that thermostat's stuck open. And so if it's bad, it'll stick either open or closed, and it sounds like yours has done both, and now it's stuck open. So if I were you, I'd put a thermostat in. $195.
$195?
No. A 195 degree thermostat is what your Buick, your 2000 Buick Century is going to call for.
Okay.
195 degree, get a new gasket, scrape the old one off. It may have an O-ring that comes with the thermostat. I don't know which motor you got, 4-cylinder or 6, V6?
It's the 6.
Okay. Follow the upper hose, and chances are the upper hose will take you to the thermostat housing, and it's mounted on the motor, and it's probably just 2 bolts, and you can take it off. Sometimes they're more difficult than that. I just can't picture your motor in my head right now.
Well,
okay.
So in the morning when I come out there and it's cold, I have another person start the car?
Yeah, because you're going to be standing there. You've got the radiator cap off of it, and you're going to be standing there looking at the water because the radiator cap shows you the water. And you're going to have your other hand on the hose, and you're going to be squeezing it. Well, when you start the car up, you'll be able to feel water surging through that upper hose. And if the water starts flowing in the radiator, that thermostat is stuck wide open because the thermostat is the dam of the circle. I want you to picture a big circle, and at 12 o'clock, there's a gate. When that gate's closed, there's no circulation in that circle. When we open that gate, then we have the full circle, and it goes, pick up the heat, drop it off, pick up the heat, drop it off, pick up the heat, take it to the radiator and drop it off. But when that dam is closed, then the thermostat is shut, there is no transfer of water. The water's not going to move. because the circle is interrupted. So in your case, you're looking for movement of the water first thing in the morning.
2 minutes, and next up,
case,
Carlo.
That's where you're at, okay?
Should I try to put a new radiator cap on?
You know, I always say for $5 or $6, if you buy a Stant brand, S-T-A-N-T, if you buy a Stant brand, I always tell people that's the best investment you can make because they go bad and they cause all kinds of problems, and people guess water pumps, radiators, thermostats, and then it turns out to be a $6 radiator cap.
Should I buy one with the
safety lever?
Yeah.
Yes. Always buy one with the safety lever. All righty.
Bless you.
Thank you very much. And let's go to Carlo. Carlo, good morning to you.
Hey, Mark. How you doing?
I'm good.
I have a 2008 Dodge Challenger. I did some work to the motor. I had changed the cam and the heads.
Okay.
Car runs fine. I had a tuner program sent to me, hooked it all up. It runs great. But my air condition, the recycled air,
uh-huh,
starting changing. And one I know
minute.
There's no vacuum lines or anything. Is that something that maybe I could have did when I put the tuner in? Or?
No, I don't think so at all, because you're only on the motor side of the tuner. You're not doing climate control there. That's a completely separate module of the thing. There's a motor underneath the dash that's going to open and close recirculatory or outside air, which is the two,
right,
swamp cooler or air conditioning. And
right,
that's where you're going to go. Is the signal being sent? Is the lever on the door or broken? Is the door stuck with Budweiser or Coca-Cola? Or a tissue, or a hot dog, whatever slid down the vent, an ink pen slid down a vent. That's the area of concern. This, chances of it having anything to do with what you've done are about 1 in 1,000. So it's just a matter of tracking it down. We'll be right back right after this.
Kelly Clark is...
Most Friday nights I can be found in the bed of my truck.
Welcome back, everybody. 34 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. Thank you for spending your Saturday with me. We're on from 10 to 11 every Saturday morning right here. And my sole purpose, my sole job, everything that's my responsibility is twofold. Number one, make all your hits. Make all your marks. Otherwise, get out when they tell you to get out for a commercial. And number two, put your interest in front of my own. But I'm here to help you. This portion of On the Hood is brought to you by Kurt's Auto Repair. Oh, Kurt, you know, he is a great guy. He's got years of experience, but domestic, import, gas, diesel. And what's really nifty about Kurt's Auto Repair is he has some really good staff, especially the front counter staff, because those guys are honest to goodness good. I-17 and Bell. If you've ever been to Kurtz, you probably won't try anybody else. They've been open since 92. They've been a member in good standing with the Better Business Bureau. So I-17 and Bell, give Kurtz a try, and you'll understand why Kurtz Auto Repair is on my best car repair shops list. If you want that list, you go to marksalem.com. Marksalem.com. Now, there's lots of lists out there. You know that. But I can tell you this much. Mine was first in the state of Arizona. No, and mine dates back to 1989. So I was first, and there's a difference. The rest of them, if you say, I had a problem with this transmission shop, and you referred me to him, what are you going to do about it? They're not going to do anything. It says on their website, they're not going to do anything. In reality, my website says this. If you have a problem with one of my shops, I want you to file a complaint at the Better Business Bureau. The shop is obligated to go through arbitration. The judge at the arbitration will make a determination of who's right and who's wrong. If the shop is told to refund money or to fix your car and they don't, I will. I will, up to $5,000. So, nobody else says that. And you know why? Because they don't have the list that I have. I got the best guys in town. All righty. We're going to talk about, with respect to the information that you give your auto repair shop, has everything to do with their success. Now, ladies are the very best of this. The ladies won't come in and show off at the front counter like the guys will. The guys want to tell us all the parts they've replaced. But you see, here's the deal. It's like going to the doctor and saying, I have a pain right here underneath my arm. Now, I've taken aspirin, I've taken Maalox, I've run, I've jumped, I've had physical therapy, and you go on for 20 minutes about all the stuff you've done, but you know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking all of that stuff just means it didn't fix it. Why are you filling my head with all of this? I'd much rather you tell me more. Now, you got to remember back, we just got done talking with Michael on his thermostat. Two things he said I keyed on. It's going into the red, and now it'll hardly come off quarter. That's all I needed to know. And that's all a lot of shops in town need to know. Just give us the facts, ma'am. Just give us the facts. Don't come in and tell us how many Jaguar motors you rebuilt when you were in high school. That doesn't make any difference to us. And that's what it gets worse, is the lobby's full of pretty girls. The guy walks in, he's got leather loafers and silk socks, and he proceeds to tell us how to fix his car. He's never right. And we got to talk him out of doing it that way. Some of them were successful, some of them we aren't. Then we have him sign a sheet of paper. If he won't let us talk him out of it, then we have him sign a piece of paper that says the diagnosis is mine, the responsibility is mine, and all costs associated with the diagnosis are mine. And we're letting him know, if you misdiagnose this, you can't refuse to pay us because we're working off your diagnosis. And after all, folks, you really want to work off of ours. Because if we mess up, then you say, hey, I'm not paying for a guess, I'm paying for a fix. I want you to remember those two words, guess and fix. Just the other day, a lady went in and she had her car worked on and it was running poorly. And they said to her, we're going to replace the camshaft and the crankshaft seals, sensors. So $326 later, they tell her, it ain't running any better, now it needs an engine. I'm floored that you let them do that to you. I mean, I can't even put an air filter in a car sometimes without paying for it because they're mad because they think they had it replaced, 2 weeks ago, 2 months ago, 2 years ago, whatever. But you let them get away with that. I said to this lady, she's a very nice lady. I said, you go, first of all, let's get it fixed, okay? Let's get your car fixed. And once we get it fixed, then we'll know. Chances of it needing an engine right now are slim and none. So let's get it fixed. And then you're going to go back to the first shop and say, you know what? Yours was a guess. I want my money back for the guess. You told me you were going to fix it. Then you call me back and tell me I need a $7,000 engine. How can that be? So, and then I say, is it using any oil? Is it leaking any oil? Does the engine make any noise? No, 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 no. How's the oil pressure? Good. How's the temperature? Good. Does it start and run good? Yeah. Will it go 70, 80, 90? Yeah. Well, then what's the matter with the motor? What's the matter with the motor? Anyway, those are my warnings. We got open lines available if you'd like to call us and you have a question. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960.
You won't believe what mysterious and intriguing family facts get left out over the years.
About that demon automobile, the metal monster with the polyglass wheels, the end result of the dream of Henry Ford.
Welcome back, everybody. My name's Mark Salem, and we're on the last segment of our show. We've got some callers, and we're going to get to them in just about 30 seconds. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Quality Transmission. In Tempe, if you have an issue with a transmission, Bob or Steve at Quality Transmission is really who you need to call. They know transmissions very, very well. They have many years of experience. They don't guess with your money. They know how to repair transmission, and more importantly, know how to bid the transmission. None of this, let's take it apart for $400 and then we'll give you an estimate. You see, good seasoned guys can give you the top and the bottom of that major repair before we take your transmission apart. We don't need to see what's going on. We know that it's going to be at least this or going to be up to here. We'll give you two numbers. So Quality Transmission is located in Tempe on McClintock, just north of University. On McClintock, no matter where you live, they're worth the drive. Let's go to Phil. Phil, good morning to you. How can we help you today?
Good morning. I have a 98 Honda Civic, and I had an engine replaced. I wouldn't say rebuilt. It had 65,000 miles on it. Had that put in, and the engine check light went on.
Okay.
And soon after that, I had a check, and they said that the codes were referring to the transmission.
Okay.
But on top of it all, when I was heading down to Tucson, so I was hitting about 80 miles an hour, all of a sudden the temperature gauge started going up. It was about three-quarters to the way up to, you know, to the red.
Okay.
And so then I basically turned off the AC, dropped down to 65, and the temperature dropped a little bit to where it was at least drivable. But on the other hand, you know, obviously it's not working right. And I had new hoses, you know, new radiator, and obviously he's saying, you know, the engine check light says transmission, so I don't know.
Okay. Well, let's start with the check engine light at the transmission. It is commanding, let me see what year that was, 98 Civic. It probably is not commanding the shifts on a car that old. So it's going to monitor probably internal pressure. And my guess is that you have some kind of internal pressure problem in the transmission.
Okay.
It's also possible it has a speed sensor on. It knows what the wheel's spinning, and it wants to know what the transmission's spinning, and maybe those two are some different now, and it wants to see those completely synchronized. So there's a variety of things with the check engine light. The check engine light is yellow or orange for a good reason. It means caution. It doesn't mean stop. Red means stop. So you can still drive it, but that's something that's probably going to be unrelated to your temperature. Now, you're driving down the highway at 80 miles an hour. First of all, shame on you. The speed limit's 75. You're driving down the freeway real fast. The temperature gets up, and you shut the air off, and the temperature comes down. I don't care how much it comes down. That kind of tells me that the air conditioning, maybe the electric cooling fans weren't working right. Now, at 80 miles an hour, you're pushing lots of air through the radiator, through the condenser, but maybe the air conditioning fans weren't. Now, on your Honda, you probably have two fans. You have one that's run by coolant in the engine, and the other is run by the air conditioning. And under the best of conditions, they're both going to be on as you're traveling. So I'm thinking cooling fans. Then you say you've had a new radiator put in, so that eliminates the radiator being plugged up. And so I still want your car to go half to three quarters. And what's going to happen is it'll get up to three quarters, then the fan will come on and it'll drop it to half. Air on, air off, I don't care. But other than that, unless it's in the red, unless it's puking coolant out of the overflow, unless it's pinging and knocking, unless there are obvious signs that you hear, that you see, that you smell that this thing's overheating, then it's just not that bad of a concern. And we've had, well, how many days? 20 some odd days over 100 degrees? So the pavement is 140 degrees, 18 inches off the pavement, so the air that's coming across the radiator is already 140 degrees. It's just not going to carry a lot of heat away from the radiator when it's already 140 degrees.
Yeah.
So get the transmission thing checked out, because someone's going to have to go in there and find the code, and that's the easy part. And then they're going to have to say, what is it telling me? Oh, the computer sees this RPM off this axle and this RPM off this axle. Oh, look there. Phil has two different sized tires on the front of his Honda. So one's spinning faster than the other. Now, if we put the back tires on there, then I bet that light goes away. See, that's kind of how it works. Okay? All righty. Thanks, Phil. Good luck to you. Clark, you're up next. Clark, how are you?
Good morning, sir. I just have a comment about guys wanting to diagnose their own cars. My granddad opened a shop in the late 20s, 1920s, and he retired in 66. But he had a lot of stories about guys that want to come in and tell him what's wrong and what to fix. And just like you say, they're never right.
Well, God bless your grandpa, because I've been in this business since 1968, and it hasn't changed a bit. And I say, I bet your grandpa, if he'd given his choice, he'd have had all women customers.
Yeah, he might. That might be true. The guys that know everything to know really gave him a hard time. Like he had a front end and frame shop, and he had, I bet he had two or three guys every month come in and want an alignment because their front end was shimmying.
Yeah, yeah. Or there's a vibration, and you go, how is an alignment going to go? Oh, I just know it needs an alignment. Well, I tell you what, my $89 alignment is, you're going to pay cash for that because there's no refunds on it. And
well,
probably
back then it was like $19.
Exactly. I remember when I first started working at the Broadway Shell at Baseline, or no, at Broadway and Priest, gas was $27, $29, and $31, and my first raise was a nickel.
Yeah.
So I mean, I don't go back as far as your grandpa did, but my grandpa went back that far. The idea is that a vibration is not a symptom of an alignment. Now, right. An alignment can cause a bad tire wear, which then can cause a vibration. And
or
yes,
pull one way or the other.
Exactly. So I would much rather have women because they just give us the symptoms. And with all due respect to all the engineers that are listening, between you and me, Clark, the worst guys in the world are the engineers. Oh, yep. My God. They want autopsies on their parts. Why'd that water pump go bad? I don't know. Maybe it's 120 on the clock. Well, I think we ought to do an autopsy on that and find out if the pH is a valuable thing or if there's any drag on the bearings. Hey, buddy, you got two choices. I can put a water pump on or not. Those are your only two choices. This ain't Crime Scene Central over here. This isn't Cold Case. This is a garage. So,
right.
Well, thanks for that, Clark. Thanks.
Well, and by the way, Mark, you worked on my kid's car a couple weeks ago, 05 Impala with a steering rack. I want to thank you for getting into that the way you did and taking care of that car. That was outstanding. I tell everybody I know to go to your shop.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And what he's talking about is we put a brand new rack and pinion on it to fix a broken bracket that you could only buy with the rack and pinion, and then we ended up with a second bracket that was broken. We couldn't show in any way, shape, or form that that was done by the driver. There was no evidence. And besides that, if I paid Clark or if somebody paid me $1 million and said, go out and bust the one bracket on the rack and pinion, I couldn't do one. I could do both, but I couldn't do one. So we got with our vendor, and our vendor said, we're in with you, buddy. And so we took care of him. And of course, it's not because he's special. It's just because that's the way we do things. Mark, you're up next, buddy. How are you today?
Hey, Mark, I'm surprised. Got a 2002 Tahoe with 100. About 6 months ago, my dashboard instruments started going crazy. Every time I hit a bump, they'd go spiraling around. Had the cluster checked. The cluster was fine, so we figured bad fault to ground. Took it to an electrical shop, and they fixed that problem. Now, when I have my left turn signal or my right turn signal or the emergency on, the voltmeter ticks in time with the turn signal.
Well, what I'd want to do, if that was a car in front of me and I needed to work on it, I'd go ahead and pick a voltage reading up at the battery, and then I'd go down to the fuse panel and pick up a voltage reading, and I would use an old-fashioned analog digital voltmeter so I could see if the voltage surge is actually there. I'd want to see the needle go tick, 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 tick. That's why I wouldn't use a digital gauge, is because those don't show it as well as the analog with a needle and a pointer. I would check a variety of voltage sources, cigarette lighter, the power side of the fuse, the battery, the back of the alternator. I would look around to see if I can see it anywhere other than the volt gauge. Now, obviously, the volt gauge is picking it up from somewhere. There's still a possibility you've got something wrong in that cluster because the mid-2000 GMs had cluster problems. And there's a place here in town that does that repair work. They do it mostly for dealers, but they've given me permission to tell you you can go directly there.
Dick Speedo?
He is one of them.
He's the one that tested the cluster outside of the vehicle and said that it tested fine.
Okay.
Didn't charge me. Great guy.
All right, you send me an email at mark@marksalem.com because I don't have the information in front of me. mark@marksalem.com, and I'll give you the other place.
Okay,
and both of them are equally as good, but sometimes it takes two pairs of eyes. And what you're really looking for, admittedly, Mark, you're looking for somebody who's worked on this problem before and says, I know what this is. That's what you're looking for. All righty, good luck to you. Ben, we got to be quick, but go ahead, Ben. What can I do for you?
Ben, Mark, thanks for taking the call. I got kind of a real oddball. I got a 383 Chrysler
okay. In
a shoebox Ford, and when it gets hot, you have to hold it to the floor to start it. It's got Nettlebrock on it.
Okay. And when you get it started, does it blow black smoke?
No.
So you have to hold it to the floor.
When it's warm. When it's normal, it starts great.
Okay. Now, this has nothing to do with the battery or the starter because it's cranking over at a normal speed. You're saying I have to push it to the floor to get it to crank over and start.
When it's hot. And I'm wondering, is it losing gas or dumping gas or what?
Well, that's the million-dollar question. If I were working on that, you said no black smoke. If the bowl of the carburetor was leaking and it's warm, then you're pushing it to give it a lot of air because it's already got an abundance of fuel. But when you right. start it up, it's going to blow black smoke.
Yeah, I have to put a screwdriver in the choke valve.
Oh, you do? Yep. On a warm start?
On a hot engine.
Well, no, then the thermostat's not adjusted right. The lever that goes to the manifold heater isn't adjusted right because you shouldn't have a closed choke when it's warm.
And well, it's not closed completely, but it started to a little bit.
No, I want that flap standing 12 o'clock, 6 o'clock.
Okay.
And the reason why...
with the fuel pump or the filter, then.
No. If it'll do 60 miles an hour, it's not the fuel pump or the filter, if you follow me.
Okay.
But in your case, what when you push it all the way to the floor, you're actually cracking the butterfly open further, and I think that's the reason it's starting. But you got to unwind that choke. You've got to get that choke to be closed in the morning, and of course now's not the time to be testing it. Wait till November. Right. But just get it to stand open. That's what bread ties are made for. Bread ties. You tie that choke blade open.
Okay.
Hey, all right.
Thank you. On gas stations. I worked at an Amoco in White Gas. I used to get off the school bus.
Yeah, yeah. Those were the great old days. All righty. Well, thank you very much,
Ben.
You betcha. If you're looking for a good body shop, Phoenix Body Works up in North Phoenix is probably one of the best around. Greg May and his staff have been servicing the Phoenix area since 1982. They offer free computerized estimates, written lifetime warranties, and they are the insurance claim professionals. They take the hassle. Phoenix Body Works takes the hassle out of dealing with your insurance companies. Their employees are AS certified mechanical, ICAR certified paint and body. They belong to the Better Business Bureau. And you just can't get better than that. So it is you, according to Arizona law, who can choose the body shop you want. Mark Salem says never let your insurance company pick your shop. Never. You want somebody in your side of the ring, and you don't want everybody on the other side of the ring. So if you're looking for a good body works, or in the future, if you have a problem and you need a good body shop, don't forget Phoenix Body Works, half a block north of Deer Valley on 19th Avenue. So just remember, 19th Avenue in Deer Valley, a half a block more.
50 seconds.
All righty. Hey, we had a good show today. Hope you guys come back, and we'll talk about women. We can talk about guys in leather loafers and silk socks. When I say that, I always get in trouble, but you know, I don't mean it. It's just to put a picture in your head of the guy with pressed pants, usually a suit on, and he's got leather loafers and silk socks. I've got customers that come into my shop, and they'll pull up their pants legs to show me their silk socks. It's a joke, so don't take it personally. I'm a little ornery at times. You have to kind of figure that out. If you want to talk to me any other time, you can do it on my email address, mark@marksalem.com. mark@marksalem.com, and my website is easy, marksalem.com. Please wear your seatbelt. Please don't drink and drive.